The Journey of My Heart, passages from the Diary of a Pilgrim to Sri Ramanashramam, continued from the September-October issue. 14th of December 1982. This evening, Ganesan took Paul and me to meet Sri Balarama Reddy. He spoke of the beauty of a mother's selfless love. He told us, for a spiritual life, infinite patience is needed, not just for one lifetime, but for many lifetimes. The sense of time should disappear. 16th of December 1982. This morning, I departed for Pradakshina at 5:15 a.m., well before dawn. However, I soon discovered hundreds of people had the same idea. For it is the first day of the new Tamil month. I felt as one with the stream of women dressed in their most festive saris and men in their fresh dhotis. Many women appeared to walk the entire 8 miles with a child in their arms. In the dark before dawn, the temples and lingams were lit up with images, bedecked with flowers, turmeric, etc. The faces of the villagers, filled with faith as they gazed upon the images, impressed themselves on my heart. Dawn broke on the dirt road to Adi Annamalai, in the tiny rural hamlet. Fresh rangolis, white powder designs, were at each door, and at the center the women had placed bouquets of fresh bright yellow flowers resembling daffodils. Naturally, the recitation of mother's names, Sri Lalita Sahasranam, formed the background from which I viewed all these charming sights. The cup of tea I stopped to have at Adi Annamalai tasted like the sweetest nectar. During this pradakshina, I went round almost all the Siva lingams. Returning, I found Ramaswamy Pillai sitting outside in the sun. I took him some homeopathic pills for his congestion, which he accepted like a meek child, and sat with him for a while. He inquired about my parents' occupations and the size of our family, whether I lived in a house or apartment, whether I was married. When I told him I was single, he said, "It is all right. When a person is unmarried, he remains fresh. After marriage, reality takes over. Imagination is absent. Then the partner becomes a position, a part of one's self. Also, there may be fear of losing the person, though not in Hinduism, especially among Brahmins. Yet, tastes change. When a person is a child, he may want a tricycle, then a bicycle. Later, that will have no meaning and he will want a motorcycle. So it is with the mind." Ramaswamy went on to speak of the beauty of selfless love, which springs from a pure and one-pointed mind. In its pure state, the self is indivisible. It cannot be split. You see, Sri Bhagavan's teachings is completely separate from religion. In religion, there is still ego. I am a Hindu. For Westerners, they need not become Hindus. Within their own religion, in the context of their own society, they may practice it. In reality, Sri Bhagavan's teachings is not religious. It is more scientific than religious. Religion is not required to turn the mind back on itself. He also spoke about attachment, especially the strong attachment of a child to its mother. As a boy, Ramaswamy's strong attachment to his mother prevented him from dying and taking another birth. When he had become very sick, the thought of his mother helped him survive. Even great saints may ultimately have to serve their parents, he commented. He spoke at length on the uniqueness of Sri Bhagavan's teachings and about how, once a person is established in the self, sacrifice is no longer painful but becomes a great pleasure. Then he said, I think I am exhausted, not physically tired, but my supply has run out. He joined his palms and as I saluted him, he gently chanted, Om, Om, Om. I took his leave. 18th of December 1982, in Ganesan's room at 5 a.m., I had found Kunji Swami sitting on a folding chair. With a broad smile, he motioned me to take the chair beside him. Ganesan finished his ablutions and we three took off, going round behind the shrine for the path leading out to Parakuttu. Walking beside Kunji Swami, I began to feel light-hearted as a child. His very presence uplifted us. We followed a path quite near to the base of the mountain, obviously familiar to Kunji Swami as one taken with Bhagwan. The tall trees gave way to low-lying bushes and thorns and a panoramic view of Sri Arunachala in its majesty opened up before us. We talked while walking. Kunji Swami expressed concern that I had not worn sandals. I need all the merit that I can get. Then you are a true dacoit, he replied. Ganesan explained that Kunji Swami uses the term dacoit, especially with reference to devotees of Arunachala Ashrama who, coming for short periods of time, plunder all of the wealth of Sri Bhagavan and Sri Arunachala and then take it home with them. I said that I was thinking of extending my stay, although I had my work to return to in New York. Kunji Swami said in an ecstatic mood that during Sri Bhagavan's time, some with exceptional devotion living away from Tiruvannamalai would begin to find excuses to extend their stay. In such cases, Bhagavan would send Kunji Swami with the devotee to the station to make sure he got on the train. Sri Bhagavan was particular that women going on pradakshina should be accompanied, Kunji Swami said. But rather than say, don't go alone, he would ask, who is accompanying you? After the women had left, he would ask, who went with her? We passed the spot where only the foundation of S.S. Cohen's home in Parakuttu remains, and Kunji Swami described how Cohen would cook some rice and vegetables in the early morning and then go to Bhagavan. Half he would take at noon and the other half at dinner. In the afternoon, Bhagavan would walk about Parakuttu and inquire about everyone's welfare like a father. All would be delighted at his solicitude and personal care for them. One day, Bhagavan asked Cohen what he had eaten. Oh, nothing much, Bhagavan. A little rice and vegetables, he replied, like a poor man. Rice and vegetables? How fortunate, was Bhagavan's rejoinder. When we were on the hill, we had only rice, sometimes even without salt. And now you are eating like a king. In this way, Bhagavan would encourage and console them. During his walks to Parakuttu, Bhagavan would sit on Cohen's stone veranda. Cohen began to feel bad that Bhagavan had to sit on the hard stone. One day, he put out a chair and Bhagavan never returned. So considerate to all, he never wished to cause inconvenience or to receive special attention. Cohen lamented this as his life's greatest mistake. Evelyn Casello Safair continued in the January-February 1998 issue.